that song is.
Yeah, you want something you can't have.
Exactly. Yep. So, yeah, I think it's different for every song and every record, but for this record specifically, a lot of it came like prematurely, I guess, before I realized I was processing something. Yeah.
It's funny you frame it like that, because one of the takeaways that I have had listening to it, mm-hmm. and I was also going back and listening to some of the conversations we had on previous episodes, and I know on Wild Tension, there seemed to be a regular description of it as being just like melodramatic.
Totally.
And like, I think we were talking about being 14 and, yeah. and having
feeling everything so deeply. Yeah.
And where that album came off as it's like feeling really bothered. Mm-hmm. This album at times feels extremely unbothered. Mm-hmm. Like, as in there's kind of like this coolness to it. There's almost like a swagger to the record. I actually think that there's a shot in the music video that kind of encapsulates how the album makes me feel. And it's the, you're like hacking a dart while the blue and red is just
totally.
I was like, that's what the entire record feels like to
oh,
me.
Oh, that's so cool.
And it's just like, I know that Wild Tension, there was like 3.5 years worth of songwriting
yeah.
in there. Like, was that a difference in terms of how long it took you to put these songs together? Like,
totally.
Let me rephrase that. Is this a more like current representation on your songwriting approach and like the music that you like right now?
Yeah, honestly, this record came together like insanely fast. There's only one song, like Swimming Pool, like I talked about, that was a pandemic baby. It was on a hard drive. The hard drive died. It got lost. I wanted to recreate it. That's the only one that's like not been written within the last year. Like, there's been little like bits and pieces, like random verses or whatever, that I've like puzzle pieced in. But in terms of actual like songwriting completion, this has happened within the last year. And I absolutely was like, I'm going to take my time with this one. Like, no rush at all. And then things just started flowing. And I was like, why stop a good thing? Suddenly we're recording drums and now there's guitar. And like, oh my God, everything's been tracked. May as well start mixing it. And then got on the grind with mixing it, and I was like, I'm done. I can send it to mastering and I can release this fall. And like, on that topic of darkness, I knew that this was like a fall winter record, not a spring summer record. So my option was to push it till the spring, and I was like, unless I just hustle and get it like done. And it really did not feel like a crazy push. Like, it was a lot of work, but I had some awesome people that worked on it with me, and it came together incredibly quickly. Not to say that it was like, you know, the fast food of records. Like, absolutely, there was time and love put into this. But the creative juices were just flowing at a rate that they weren't for the last one. So I leaned into that, and I'm happy that it's come out, and like the response has been so positive. And yeah.
Where did you record the record?
I recorded the bulk of it at Vertical Studios, which I actually work at as an engineer. It's currently fighting off some flood damage from the atmospheric river. Yeah, luckily no gear was damaged, just a lot of flooring. Yeah. So hopefully we'll be back up and running in January. But yeah, the bulk of it was recorded at Vertical. There was some stuff like remote tracked at some studios in Montreal, and backing vocals were all done at my house. But aside from that, like, everything was done at Vertical. Shout out to Tom, my boss, for letting me use the space. Yeah, and had some like awesome Vancouver musicians on the record as well. So very like local project. Yeah.
Hell yeah. Should we get to another track from the record?
Let's do it.
It's probably about time to do that. You got one you want to play? We mentioned Swimming Pool, but we can play any.
I might shout out
number.
A different one,
yeah,
actually.
Totally.
Let's do She Moves. This song has been like the dark horse favorite off this record, and it made my mom cry. So
let's do it again.
Let's do it. Let's make her cry.
That's what we're all about here at the mixtape. All right. It's the Vancouver mixtape at CJSF 90.1 FM from the new record by Lila Gray, Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too. This is She Moves, the one that makes mom cry.
I hate how they like. I'd rather hate them with her as I stand. inside. Nobody knew you like I do. You weren't mine to keep. Now I'm not yours to lose. And I was a fool.
She Moves by Lila Gray off of the new record, Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too. We've got Lila in studio with us here at the Vancouver Mixtape. Welcome back. So can you tell us a little bit? You told us that this was the song that made your mom cry.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that you could tell us about this song?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask if there's anything else that makes your mom cry. Obviously.
What else can we do?
She's going to be horrified that I mentioned it. I've mentioned it at like every show now. And I'm like, song just came out. So you have a lifetime to look forward to of me introducing this song as the one that makes my mom cry.
Until the next one.
Exactly. Yeah, I don't have like too much lore about this song, I guess. I wrote it about a friend of mine that I had intense romantic feelings for. And I think love her in a platonic way that is occasionally romantic. My mom didn't cry for like homophobic reasons. She cried because it was beautiful.
It's an important clarification.
Yeah, I think so. Because I said this at the Montreal show. I was like, this song is about lesbian love. And it made my mom cry. And then I was like, wait, no.
Not like that.
Not like that. She's an ally.
Everyone is booing your
mom. Yeah, boo. Like, no, she cried because she loved the song. Yeah. So, no, I don't have too much to say about that one. It's a personal favorite of mine. I really like the like string arrangement that I did for it. And, I like it. It's one of the more like mellow ones on the record. It feels like you're heading towards the conclusion of something, which is what I wanted. It's the second to last one on the album. So, I really like that song.
You mentioned the string part.
Yeah.
And in a very rare occasion, I did the barest amount of background research.
Hello.
You know,
yeah.
read some articles an album review of the latest record.
Yeah,
that mentioned your early days as a classical musician.
Yes,
tell me about this.
Yeah, I started playing cello. I don't know if we can call it playing cello. I picked up a cello and and tried to bow a cello when I was like 3. I went to this preschool and everyone played cello, which I think is actually, in hindsight, like hysterical.
Yeah, just walking into
like
a
group
room
of three-year-olds playing cello. Yeah. And they would play like classical music and then we'd just go crazy over it. Like that was what it was. So in hindsight, hysterical. That was in Victoria. But I did turn into like legit cello playing at a certain point. I took classical lessons for years. I stopped when I was like 14 or 15. And like, it's a hard sell for like a 14-year-old to be stoked on classical music.
Totally.
Like, I just wanted to play contemporary music. And my teacher was like, no, we're doing Suzuki and we're not going to play the Beatles. So I did hate it for like probably 4 years. And then when I was around, like 17 or 18, I was like, cello is actually really beautiful and I'm really lucky to like know how to play this instrument.
And like, oh, all of this theory and classical foundation is really useful for making pop music.
Exactly. Yeah. And like, I'm a huge fan of putting strings in places where you think that they don't belong. Because I think like, if you look at it from like a scoring sense, when you're watching a movie, like strings are the things that make you feel.
Oh my God. Yeah.
And so to just like sneak those in there into a pop song, like that song, She Moves, it's probably the reason my mom cried is like the strings in there. You're not conscious of it, but they really like, they play with your emotions. I think Dua Lipa is like really good at that.
Yeah.
All of her stuff has strings in it. She's also a cellist. So Shout out Dua Lipa.
When's the collab coming out?
I'm waiting on her call. I'm sat and waiting. I'm waiting with open arms. Would love. I'm a big fan of strings and where I can sneak them in. I will. Yeah.
I do have the image in my head of 3-year-olds playing full size cellos.
Yeah, no, definitely not like size appropriate.
No. You kind of answered this, but like, did you have any tension between like trying to reconcile being a pop music fan and a classically trained musician? Like, you obviously have mentors and teachers being like, no, this is the stuff you should like.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like you found a way to marry the two, but like, was that a conscious break that you had to make?
Definitely. When I put out my first like EP when I was 14, and this is in my like cello hating era, and I was like,
we all go through it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, everyone hits puberty, everyone hates cellos. It's like
I can't wait for your era's tour. You know, we'll have the cello hating
one, and then we end with like just like 103-year-olds playing cello.
I'm into it.
I'm into it. I think it's going to be more popular than the Eras Tour.
Agreed.
Yeah. But yeah, I think I like put that EP out and I was just, it's very like electronic driven EP. There's one song that's got like acoustic guitar on it. But that was my, I guess, like rebellion. Mm-hmm. I was like,
no real instruments.
What's like the antichrist to cello? And that's like
a
music that's, yeah, exactly. Music that's made in the box. And then album number two, I was like, okay, we can put like some like pads that sound like strings.
Yeah.
You know, we're like, it's still electronic, but they're in there. And then for Wild Tension, my like second full length, but third full kind of project, I guess, I had live strings because I was like, okay, we're back. We're so back.
We're so back.
And now I'm like, I don't think I will. I mean, I can't say this 100% certain, but like I would be very shocked if any of my music, like any album I put out, doesn't have at least like a little bit of strings in it.
Sure, yeah.
Even when I'm like producing for clients, I'm like, hear me out, strings. What if we just put those in there? And I hope that no one feels blackmailed into like, or coerced into including strings in their music, but I love putting in music that I'm working on.
Truly the worst kind of coercion.
Yeah.
Do they want their song to make people cry or
exactly.
not?
Exactly. Exactly. Don't you want your mom to cry when she hears your music? Yeah, you should probably put cello in there.
That is a really interesting evolution. Because you certainly notice on the new record that there's more of an emphasis on like classic rock arrangements.
Totally.
Like there's more just like straight palm muted distorted guitar,
mm-hmm.
that maybe wasn't there on previous records. Are you just like becoming more enamored with this, I guess, traditional arrangements or is it something else?
I have to give credit to Eli Williams, who's my guitarist, because he did all the guitar arrangements on the record. I've been liking a heavier sound recently. I think that we're in like such a good era for pop, where it's kind of just this like genre bending melting pot of like 10 different things. I'd like to play within that umbrella term of pop, I guess. But yeah, like I said, like I wanted a darker record. And so I think thematically, like more rock leaning arrangements kind of scratch that itch for me. So yeah, I wanted a heavier and darker sound. And yeah, shout out Eli for executing that well with all of the guitar that he laid down for the record. Very appreciated. Yeah.
It's interesting just to get a little insider radio for a moment. The CRTC categorizes all audio into a bunch of different categories. Category
cool.
one is talk.
Yeah.
Category two and three are the music categories, and one is popular music and one is special interest music.
Whoa.
And so what they call popular music is like pop, rock, rap, dance, country, like anything that you would hear on like a regular,
like non-experimental
event. Exactly. Like,
yeah.
And then special interest is classical music, jazz music, and experimental
okay,
music,
totally.
Basically. But you know, these days that actually might be the best definition of pop music.
Yeah,
it's
honestly.
It's just like kind of anything.
Yeah.
But it's kind of got something hooky or catchy in it. And
totally.
Beyond that, whatever.
Yeah, like it's so cool seeing all of the people that are like leading the charge with quote unquote pop music these days. Like a lot of them have truly nothing in common, like sonically whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But you can like all of them and be like, yeah, I'm a pop fan. And
you
like,
can hear them all on a playlist.
And exactly. It works.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like the world's burning, but the music that is coming out is so good. Like, and I'm so stoked that genres are dissolving because I think that they're so dumb. And like when people are like, oh, what's your favorite genre? Like, come on. What do you mean?
What a boring question.
I know. I feel like the more exciting one is like, what's a genre that you don't like?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I feel like that's almost, for me anyways, like an easier one to answer because I do listen to like pretty much everything.
Okay. What's a genre that you don't like?
Okay, I was waiting for that follow-up. I'm sorry because I know it's having a really big resurgence, but I live my life by the ABCs, which is anything but country.
Whoa.
I can't do it. I can do like folk and old country, but I like pop country. No offense to people who like it. It just hits my ear wrong, and I just can't do it.
It's tough,
It's
man.
Tough.
It's tough. And like anybody that has made country music that I like has had there's a more roots element.
Yeah, I'm
to
like
it, right?
Okay, like Otis Redding, absolutely.
Right?
You could kind of categorize that as country, but it's not like when you say I like country music to me, that means like I'm not gonna call it. I was gonna call it artist, but I'm not gonna do that. Like, like beers, boobs, and trucks. Like that's what it's, and like a crazy twangy accent. That's what it means to me. And yeah. Like stadium rock country. That's just not my jam.
No bueno.
So, that's pretty much the only thing I don't listen to. Yeah,
I hear. Like I'm into like some of the corniest music on planet Earth.
Sure,
but I just like the pop country.
Yeah, I can't do it. Like. I don't know. I can have my guilty pleasure songs where I'm like, objectively, like, artistically speaking, this probably isn't, like, a great song.
Sure, yeah.
But, like, I love it, and I absolutely will listen to it, like, 100 times, but something about pop country just, like, ooh, it just sends a shiver up my spine. It just is, it's a cheese grater on my eardrum, and I'm so sorry to everyone that likes it. I also just think, like, cowboy culture is not getting examined in the way that it should be. Like, it has this huge resurgence, and I'm like, are we forgetting like how problematic the core of cowboy culture
totally.
Is?
Yes.
It's like super racist, homophobic, like very bigoted values. And everyone's like, yeah, but the boots are really cute though. You know?
Have you considered jeans and plaid?
Yeah, exactly. Hear me out. Chaps. Where are we on that? Yeah. Yeah. So that's my one no.
I do think, just to go back to the genre bending nature of pop music. I this is very half baked thought, but like I am also obsessed with the poptimism moment right now, where maybe what 15, 20 years ago, I'm thinking specifically in the aughts, like there was an exhaustion or like a very palpable lack of artistic integrity behind a lot of the big pop music.
Yeah, agreed.
But like, for whatever reason now, the people that are at the front of pop music nowadays, it's the opposite. It feels like the opposite. Like,
yeah.
Just like artistic integrity is part of that because they're trying weird stuff.
Well, yeah. I think artists' personalities are being given a lot more
That's
room.
So true.
You know, it's not as manufactured, like, well, you're this. It's like, well, you are you and you're popular because of who you are, so maybe do more of that.
Something I've been finding like really interesting is like obviously Charlie XCX is like the moment, and I've been a fan of her for like years, and I'm so glad that she's getting the recognition she deserves. And truly, Brat is like a perfect album. Like it just it's so awesome, and the fact that that was what like everyone latched onto, because I think she's had amazing music for years. She's been so active in the music scene for like I don't know what since like 2010, like a long time. She's been, you know, quote unquote successful, but that everyone latched onto this album, which is objectively kind of weird. Like it's not pop music, it's like
bleep,
auto-tune, like almost hyper pop, but not and that it unanimously, like everyone was like, yep, this is awesome, I love everything about this. But then it's also coexisting at a time where like Chapel Roan is out, and I'm like, that is not that, like those two things seemed so different. I would say Chapel seems more like typical when I think pop, I think that Charlie, I think more like electronic dance, but that they all fall under this pop umbrella is so cool. And it's been awesome to see these artists who have been working for so long to get the recognition that they deserve getting it now. I feel like there's so many artists like that that like this year are nominated for Grammys that have been working professionally for like 15, 20 years. And then it's also on the flip side of that coin been very interesting to see like older artists who were big in that era of like kind of synthetic pop trying to make it more of like a personal experience. It's, I don't know, it's a very interesting time to be a pop music fan.
You mentioned Chapel Roan and Charlie XCX. Like, And whatever your opinion may be on Taylor Swift, like Taylor Swift has taken up a lot of the space, and a lot of that is like she's got a lot of agency behind what she's doing, and it is really telling that Chapel Roan and Charlie XCX are kind of like the ones that have reclaimed a lot of that conversation, especially as we're like there's a lot that I kind of miss about the monoculture.
Yeah,
but the fact that they have kind of reclaimed a little bit of that top 40 conversation to be with weirder stuff is telling on what the appetites are of the quote-unquote monoculture, especially in a larger mainstream sense. But
yeah, I think also, like, just to compare it to Taylor Swift, like, Charlie XCX and Chappell Roan are, like, very unfiltered. Like, I feel like they are not media trained, or if they are, they don't care. Like,
they are who they are,
and if you don't like it, then just don't engage with it.
Totally.
Whereas, like, Taylor Swift is truly, like, to me, she almost doesn't feel like a real person. Like, mm-hmm. she is an entity.
An avatar.
And, and, like, a brand and a lifestyle. And, like, Charlie XCX, Brat, you could almost argue is that, because it did become the monoculture for a minute there. But there was something about it that still felt human and, like, I was
weird.
And I was like, I know that there's someone behind that, and that it's not like a team of people sitting down and being like, okay, so this is going to be Brat Summer, and we're going to, you know, we're going to pick the color and the font. Like, she chose that album cover because it was going to cut costs.
Yeah.
And it became, like, she's a marketing genius because she was, at the end of the day, lazy, you know? And it's very interesting because I do feel like there is this, like, divide between, like, the kind of, you know, not relic is a harsh word because they're, like, legends, icons in pop music, right? Like, Katy Perry, Taylor Swift, all the people that were enormous in, like, 2010. And Taylor Swift has obviously surpassed that now. But these people that I think when they were coming up, it was very important to have an incredibly polished image and, like, brand. And the people that are now also at the top of their game who are just, like, hopping on Instagram Live saying a bunch of stupid shit and being like, yeah, I was wine drunk. Like, you know?
Like, hey, guess what? I'm a human.
Yeah, exactly. Cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know. It's interesting that those two things are coexisting. And, like, everyone's engaging with all of it. So, yeah.
This is crazy, but we are almost out of time.
Oh my God.
We can sneak in one last song.
Yeah.
If we pick one of the shorter ones. How does Hungry For Me sound?
That was going to be my suggestion. Let's do it.
Wow.
Look at that.
And we will even skip any sort of introduction. We'll just go right into it. This is Hungry For Me by Lila Gray.
I couldn't have been more of a fool if I tried. You laid the trap and I liked the knife. I should have known from the first look you cast, one of hunger and fear, a hunter with a deer, that my feelings came last. Somewhere along the way I stopped smiling with my teeth, just as I felt the fear leave. I saw you looking back at me, licking your fingers and touching my cheek. But you weren't in love, you were hungry for me. I couldn't say when my feelings became a forest. I was so scared and you were abhorrent. A man with a plan and a woman of action. What could go wrong except her satisfaction? Somewhere along the way I stopped smiling with my teeth. Of an actor and a husband.
Well, that's it for the Vancouver mixtape. Lila, thank you for coming and hanging out with us once again.
Thanks so much for having me back and chatting. It was such a nice way to spend an afternoon.
Yeah, great conversation. The new record, Scared of the Dark, You Should Be Too, is out now. Any last words?
Ooh, last words. Follow me on Instagram at Lila Gray Music. That's LILAGRAY Music. You can find me on TikTok, Instagram, all the things with that handle. That's the best way to keep up to date on shows. Going on tour in the summer, so come see me if I'm playing your city. And thanks for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Jamie and I will be back
next week. We'll do it.
Okay. take care out there. We love you lots. And once again, Lila, thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye-bye.